have it. The Warriors finally get their first win of 2024. They did not make it easy on themselves, but this is a very tough Canberra Raiders outfit. The Warriors come away with the victory, 18 points to 10. It will read on the scoreboard. 2 points on the ladder, and the Warriors are on the board in 2024.
Well, they've had some close finishes, haven't they, in the three games, and they were done by a brilliant try last week, but they managed to hold their nerve and get up this week, which is good. It gives them their first win, and of course that was in the end 18-10 over a very gallant Raiders side. We knew they would be. We absolutely knew that they would be. What a try from RTS Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and now the possibility that he might have to slip back into the fullback role. We'll talk more about that with Greg Alexander. As he joins us now, and we're very pleased to welcome the great Greg Alexander to our show. Of course, morning shows with Vossie over there in Sydney, focusing very heavily this morning on the latest round of the NRL. We've only had three rounds. Brandy, good morning to you. But I guess a lot of people perhaps wouldn't pick the only unbeaten team at this point would be the Cowboys. Good morning.
G'day, Smitty. Good to talk, mate. No, I guess not. Like, I'm one that thought the Cowboys, after being disappointing last year, they got enough good players in their lineup to have a good year this year. And they had to do it the hard way last week against Newcastle. They won in Golden Point, and then were down 18-4 and could have easily been 24-4. The Dragons bombed another try to go to a big lead, and that would have put a lot of pressure on the Cowboys. But they dropped that ball over the line, the Dragons, to go to 24-4. Cowboys then scored the next 42 points straight. So they had a good period in the middle part of the game. They are chock full of attacking stars, so they got a lot of points in them. I think they'll have a good season. I think they'll finish top eight. I haven't got them in my top four, but they might prove me wrong too.
Well, this particular round, in fact, not the season, this particular round started off with a rematch of last year's grand final, your Panthers against the Broncos. A lot of people saying the Broncos would be too tough to go to Penrith and get them, and that proved to be the case. It was pretty conclusive on the back of a pretty ugly incident involving Reece Walsh, facial fracture, but Nathan Cleary has shown some pretty good early season form. What's the latest on Walsh are we hearing?
It is a facial fracture, so he'll be missing between 4 and 6 weeks, which is a bit of a blow for them because they've got a couple of tough games. They play the Cowboys this week, and then I think the Broncos have the Melbourne Storm. So two pretty hard games. They're only one win so far. They lost their opening game to the Roosters in Vegas. They won round two against South Sydney and then were beaten by Penrith. So the Panthers have got a tough run too. They play the Roosters this week after battling the Broncos last Thursday, Smitty, but Penrith were very impressive. Broncos went in without Payne Haas, without Adam Reynolds, and then lost Reece Walsh pretty early. So, they'll have to do the next couple of weeks without those two, without Haas and Walsh. Reynolds should return. They're thinking he'll play this week against the Cowboys. But the Panthers and Nathan Cleary, I sent Nathan a text after the game. I said, well, that's as good as it gets. That's exactly how I felt about that performance.
Wow, okay. And that is early season form from Nathan Cleary. I mean, we know he's consistently excellent, but we always look at playoffs when we talk about Nathan Cleary and his ability to handle situations under the utmost pressure. But to show this kind of early season form, very encouraging.
Yes, very encouraging. And working on Thursday, not on Fox League, Smitty, we spent the first hour and a half the pregame show talking about what Nathan Cleary did to the Broncos in the grand final. Well, it wasn't a grand final type performance from Nathan, but it was just as stunning. He was brilliant. Like it was great halfback play, great ball. He's become just such a good ball player and has the ability to move defenders around and just pick them. Just pluck them, just pull them out of the line, deliver passes. The timing is perfect. So, good start for Penrith and for Nathan. but it's a big game this Thursday too against the Roosters, who themselves had a big win over the weekend.
They did indeed. We'll get that very shortly. We want to touch, though, obviously on Warriors' performance down there in Christchurch. Webby took them south to take on Ricky Stewart's Raiders. They got up there 18-10. It wasn't the most pretty win you've ever seen, Brandy, but to be perfectly honest, there's a real no-panic feel about the Warriors in New Zealand at the moment, which normally, you know, if they lost a couple early up, we'd say, oh, here we go again. But this, I don't know what it is. There's a lovely air of relaxation about the Warriors, and, you know, it's quite refreshing.
It is, and just speaking, you know, on the Warriors last Friday, you know, about their upcoming game against the Raiders, and Raiders had sort of been the surprise packet of the season. They'd won their opening two games and were heading to New Zealand with a bit of confidence, and up against the Warriors side that was without Wade Egan. I know he was a late withdrawal, but a big blow losing Wade Egan. So Dylan Walker was also on the injured list. Nia Kore's on the injured list, as is Chance Mikkel-Klukstad. So there was some players out, and for a fair time there, I thought, boy, the Raiders are going to knock the Warriors off and be 3-0, which would be a huge win to beat the Warriors, even though they'd lost a couple of games. Smitty, the Warriors' performances haven't been bad. Like, the Warriors, God, like, it took a miracle to beat the Warriors in Melbourne last week. Like, Melbourne came up with, you know, a couple of tries that just shouldn't have happened. So that was a miracle win, and the Warriors played well in the second half. They played pretty good against Cronulla too, and just couldn't score. So I guess the only critical part of, you know, when you're looking at Warriors' first two performances, you thought, oh, you know, can they score when they really need to? And that was sort of, you know, highlighted in round one when they had a fair bit of ball against the Sharks at home and couldn't get it done. So to win 18-10, that's a really good win against a side that's travelling well, the Raiders, unexpectedly well. You know, I think the Warriors, no way were they like other teams that were 0-2 coming into round three. Their 0-2 was looking a lot better than a lot of other 0-2s. So I can understand the air of, you know, no panic over there in New Zealand, even though it wasn't the start they were looking for. And Roger scores the match winner, or the one that seals it. I did do an interview, a chat with New Zealand on Friday before the game, and Roger came up and I said, well, Roger's your best fullback. I'd be playing him fullback, like, because he's your number one fullback. I know you might want to play him in centres, and Chance still has to come back. I'll be playing Chance in the centres. We'll be playing Roger at fullback because Roger's ready. Roger's ready to play fullback.
Well, we'll see when they're all fit and raring to go. It seems like Roger will be at fullback this weekend, Brandy, because of the injury that was occurred by the incumbents. And as you say, Chance is still a couple of games away. You mentioned, just touched on the Roosters and this matchup they've got with the Panthers. And on the back of what we saw, does this tell us more about the Roosters or more about the Rabbitohs, this margin?
Well, I think the Roosters, you know, they've started the season well. They beat the Broncos in Vegas. They went down in a tight one to Manly, but it was a good game. And the Roosters had their chances to win that one, and then they destroy the Rabbits. I think a bit of both. There's no doubt that, you know, Jared Warre-Hargreaves playing his 100th. They were ready for this game, and South should have been too, because this game is built up in the press and the media here in Sydney as, you know, well, it's the most famous rivalry, Roosters v Rabbits. Generally, doesn't matter how either team is travelling, they're always up for it. They're ready to play each other. They're ready to play their best game. And you speak to Roosters and Rabbitohs fans and they say, well, you know, even if we don't do anything through the season, if we don't win the comp, even if we don't make the eight, as long as we beat the Roosters, or as long as we beat the Rabbitohs. So there is a fair bit that hangs on this game. And it was such a disappointment. The Roosters were very impressive, but Souths were that disappointing that it just took the gloss off the game. And it probably did take the gloss off the Roosters win. Who was super impressive, but the Rabbitohs, no effort. There was some glaring problems. I called the game and I said very early in the piece, I said, the Roosters halves must be wondering what the hell's going on and why they've got so much time to kick the ball, because South's defensive line just wasn't moving. And on play five, when you want to try and put some pressure on the half and, you know, force him to kick where he really doesn't want to kick, nothing, absolutely zero. And that doesn't come down to ability, that's just effort. And there was a complete lack of effort, and there has been a lack of effort in the Rabbitohs' performances. So they're going to wear old poor Cameron Murray out, who made 50-odd tackles again, and you know, they'll run him into the ground, and he'll be no good to South because he's just trying to do everything and cover a lot of work that's missing from other teammates.
So, Randy, what can they do here, the Rabbitohs? I mean, they sit a foot at the table. Well, we hear about the off-field issues and then transfers to an on-field disappointing performance, or woeful performance, actually. Measures can they take this early in the season? Can they go... Can they look at coaching? Can they look at personnel? What do they do?
Yeah, well, you know, they dropped the halfback Lachlan Elias, who, you know, was a bit of a scapegoat type decision. They brought in a young player that's played 6 years of New South Wales Cup. I don't know, you know, if he wasn't ready then, why is he all of a sudden ready now that they think he can do the job that the other player can't in Lachlan Elias? That sort of smacked as a little bit of a panic decision to sack your halfback, but they obviously thought they needed something. They just have to be honest with themselves, really. And I don't think there's much honesty going on in the South camp at the moment, just about, you know, who's putting the effort in. They have to all sit in a room and say, well, you know, this is what needs to happen. They led the competition after 12 rounds last year. They're in front. They're on top of the competition. I think it was 9 wins and a loss, or 10 wins and a loss, you know, and a bye. So, and since then, I think they've won 4 games, Smitty. Like, since the middle of last year, they've won 4 games. So there is something wrong in the city of Dodge. And Sam Burgess walked out last year because he knew that there was something wrong. I think everyone, and I, me included, I thought, well, you know, surely they can sort things out and they know what needs. They've still got the squad to win games, and they've got the big game players to win the big games. So they've got big game players and enough good players in that squad to be consistent winners and to be in the top 8, to be in the top 4, but there's a problem. And I don't know what they do to fix it, Ian. I really don't know what their next step is, because they've got the Bulldogs in the Good Friday clash. This is a great game. Always, this is another one of those great Sydney rivalries that everyone looks forward to. It's a massive game, Good Friday, at a Accor Stadium. There'll be 40,000 there. And if they get rolled by the Dogs, boy, I don't know what... I'm looking forward to the post-mortem of next week, of just what happens with South Sydney. But I can't give them an answer and a quick fix.
Well, it's on because the Bulldogs, much to the delight of a pretty strong fan base here on this side of the Tasman, have finally started to show some glimpses, and keeping the Titans scoreless, which was, it's a big result for them and a bad one for Des Hasler.
Yeah, I thought Desi would have the Titans ready to go early season. After an off season with him, I thought, well, the Titans, you know, they're a pretty good squad. They've been good with the ball. They've let themselves down. They've faded in some games this year, but could have quite easily won a couple of those and pressed for the 8. But they've had a horrible start. They've scored 1 try in 2 games. They've had a bye, so they're on 2 points, but still without a win. The Bulldogs, let's talk about the positive. The Bulldogs were very good. Viliami Kikau, Stephen Crichton, they didn't have a bad player, the Dogs. They realised that pretty early in the game that you know, the Titans were there to be beaten, and the Dogs were all over them. So 32-0, great result at Belmore Oval too, multicultural round. So apparently the scenes, the boys that covered the footy out there on the weekend said it was great atmosphere. And great to have, you know, to have the Dogs playing so well.
Randy, We've, of course, got a vested interest in the West Tigers over here because of Benji's involvement now as the head coach. And, you know, for the last couple of weeks, people have been saying about his attitude towards coaching. Is it thorough enough? Is he on deck often enough? I mean, how many hours of the day should he be spending there instead of looking after his young family or whatever? I mean, you know, and all of a sudden they blow the Sharks out of the water, which is a result, I've got to say, I did not see coming.
No, I don't think many did, Smitty. I reckon if you went through, you know, tipping sheets all over Australia, there wouldn't have been many that were picking the Tigers after what they offered up against the Raiders last week. They were poor right across the park. They just they were flat, and they didn't look like they were ready to start the year. So I don't think many picked them to come up against the Sharks side, who have started the season quite well. You know, big good win over the Warriors. Away from home to start the year. They beat the Dogs comfortably at home last week. Very impressive. And then get rolled 32-6. That was definitely the highlight of the round. The Tigers winning was my highlight too. Even, you know, I'm a Penrith boy, but I felt so good about the Tigers winning. It's just because you knew what you... I've known what, you know, for 2 years... Just talking about the Tigers and how bad they are, like how bad they're going, and only a few wins. So it was just great to see the Tigers win, and they beat the Sharks at everything. They were very good at all those areas that they failed to get right against the Raiders the week before. They did it. They got it right. They got a great young kid in Lockie Galvin who played 5'8", and Jareem Buller's a star in the number one, and some good things. Now, whether that's, you know, that's one out of the box, Smitty, or whether they can keep it going, I don't know. But great to see at Leichhardt in particular. And Benji, who, yeah, he come under some criticism, and so wrongly so too. Like, you know, right on the eve of the season starting and Benji being questioned about his, you know, whether he was fair dinkum or not, about his coaching and whether he was spending, you know, enough time at the ground. And yeah, it was a bit of a setup, bit of a stitch up, I thought, on Benji, but great to see them win.
Right. And just a really quick look, Brandy, I know you're a busy guy and you've just done your own show, but a good win for the Eels and the Knights over the Storm. That was an interesting result too yesterday.
Yeah, cracking game at CommBank Stadium with the Eels getting up over Manly. Manly started on fire, led 14-0, looked like, you know, they'd been the side. They've been super impressive, beating the Bunnies and beating the Roosters in their opening two rounds. So 14-0, the Eels did well just to keep their composure, wait until they got some footy. And when they did, they were able to score tries. And it was a cracking game, Smitty. Really, really good game. You know, one of the old rivalries, Eels up against the Seagulls. And Newcastle got their first win of the year. Scratchy, very scratchy, but Kalen Ponga just too good for a Melbourne Storm side that didn't have Cameron Munster or Jerome Hughes, who were gallant, went down only by 2 points, but Newcastle on the board after winning in front of their home crowd.
Good on you, Brandy. Absolutely fantastic that you've given us this much time this morning. Busy man. And thanks for your review of the weekend. We look forward to it starting all over again come Thursday night. Cheers, man. Appreciate it.
Good on you, Smitty. Good on you, mate. Bye.
Cheers. Greg Alexander there out of Sydney. Thanks very much to Greg for his time this morning. Yeah, there's some terrific results, actually. Really interesting results. And what it's illustrated to me is this is going to be one heck of an NRL season. It honestly is. Clearly, the Panthers are classy. And they're going to defend their backyard like nothing else. Whoever goes there and beats the Panthers this year is going to be exceptional to do that. Look, the Warriors, yeah, the calmness about the Warriors. We knew they'd get a win sooner or later and get themselves going on the front foot. That happened. It was just like that. The Rabbitohs, what must be happening there? I imagine they've got all sorts of meetings going on at Rabbits headquarters to try and sort out not just the playing side of it, but the issues they've got around Latrell Mitchell, who seems to be the club spokesman, but not everyone likes what Latrell is saying. And then you go down the list, the Des Hasler, serious problems that I would be thinking at the Titans, you know, and he looks at his Sea Eagles, who were very close yesterday against the Eels. The Storm, I fancied the Storm might just steal it off the Knights, but the Knights got up there at home in Newcastle. Very, very interesting round of matches. And, of course, because of the way they set the season up, they're back on deck on Thursday with another cracker. It's 11:23 here on SENZ.